Please turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We want to read verses 13 through 16. The Apostle Paul was the inspired writer, and he addressed these words to the congregation that met in the city of Philippi. He was very familiar with the people in the city of Philippi, and he loved those people, and they loved him. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. In these verses, Paul revealed his purpose for living. And in addition to revealing his purpose for living, he calls upon us to follow his example. I would say that Paul was focused in his life, wouldn't you? He said, this one thing I do. Well, there were actually several items included in that one thing, but his purpose was to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And of course, in the next two verses, verses 15 and 16, he calls upon Christians to follow his example. As the article in our bulletin suggests, living life with purpose helps us to appreciate good times, and living with purpose will also help us as we go through times of difficulty. That article was written by Brother Noel Meredith. I was blessed to be able to hear him preach several times in several different lectureships. Brother Meredith was a scholar, but at the same time, he was able to communicate in such a way that anyone could understand him. He was a great preacher, and he was a great writer. I went to school with his son-in-law, and for a while, when I was preaching in West Tennessee, one of his daughters attended the congregation that I worked with. I believe her name was Lisa. She's a very sweet girl. And Teresa and I had several conversations with her, and we used to swap preacher family stories. Of course, she grew up in a preacher's home. She knew all about that life. And sometimes people don't know this, but we preachers and our families are people too. But she reflected upon some of her experiences when it came to moving. And that's a responsibility that falls upon the shoulders of preachers and their families sometime, moving from place to place. That can be a challenge. But she said they moved quite a few times. And as she was growing up, in one move, she made a drawing of what was taking place. And I would love to have seen it. She said her daddy had developed a habit, I guess. When he was frustrated with someone, he'd call that person a cotton picker. And the picture that she drew was of a moving truck. Her daddy was driving it, and he was yelling out the window, "You cotton picker!" So we had a good laugh about that. We swapped a number of stories that have to do with moving. And Brother Meredith, though, in a serious way, lived his life with a purpose. He went through a few times of difficulty, no doubt, but he also enjoyed some good times. Living with a purpose helped him to appreciate the good times. It will also help us, but living with a purpose will also help us endure times of difficulty. Well, today we want to study a number of passages that teach us some things that we need to know about living with purpose. And as we do so, we want to follow a pattern that's mentioned in the verses that we used to introduce our lesson last week in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 begins by talking about that great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, referring to the men and women of faith listed in chapter 11 and the faith that they demonstrated and the way that they still influence us today. Then the writer of Hebrews says that we're to run the race that is set before us with patience. As a takeoff on that, we want to talk about running the race that is set before us with purpose. Then finally, in verse 2, the writer of Hebrews talks about keeping our eyes focused on the Lord. So those two verses in Hebrews 12 set the pattern for our study of living with purpose. We want to look at several Old Testament characters, that great cloud of witnesses. Then we want to look at some passages that deal with our responsibility to run the race that is set before us with purpose. Then, of course, we want to talk about the Lord's example. So that's the pattern that we want to follow as we study passages that deal with living life with a purpose. I saw a picture this morning on the news that really got to me. I saw a picture of an elderly Ukrainian woman, and she had a rifle in her hands, and someone was showing her how to use it. And I thought, more than likely, she's someone's grandmother, maybe a great-grandmother. It's hard to tell, but I would guess, and I know sometimes you get in trouble doing this, I would guess that she may have been in her late 70s, possibly early 80s. But she was wanting to defend her home. I thought, that lady lives with purpose, wouldn't you say? When I saw that one picture, and they say a picture's worth 1,000 words, it brought tears to my eyes. I thought, she shouldn't have to go through that experience. Well, I think that's an illustration of what living with purpose is all about. It will lead one to look at things and figure out what's really important and then be willing to sacrifice on behalf of it. Well, the first point we need to make is that living life with purpose involves having a sense of purpose. That's where you have to begin. If you don't have any sense of purpose, then how can you possibly live with purpose? Well, it can't be done. So living life with purpose involves having a sense of purpose. Now let's look at a man of faith from the Old Testament. Now he's not mentioned by name in Hebrews chapter 11, but he well could have been. The writer of Hebrews 11, after listing out so many men and women of faith from the Old Testament, indicates that he could have gone on and on and on. And if he had had more space and more time, he probably would have written about Ezra. But Ezra stands out as a man who served God, who had a sense of purpose. Let's turn to Ezra chapter 7. And we will see that Ezra certainly had a sense of purpose. Now, if you're not familiar with Ezra, you need to understand that he led a group of Jewish people from Babylon back to Jerusalem. The Jewish people had spent 70 years in captivity in Babylon. But when that time was up, Ezra was not the first one to lead Jews back to Jerusalem. Zerubbabel was the first. But later, Ezra led quite a group of Jewish people back to Jerusalem. He led his people in making a number of reforms so that they could once again be in good standing with God. Now let's notice something that's written about him in Ezra 7 and verse 6. Ezra 7 and verse 6 says, "This Ezra went up from Babylon," as we just talked about, "and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him." I want you to notice in this verse that he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. A scribe was one who copied down the law of Moses. I remember back in that day and time, the printing press had not been invented, and they certainly did not have access to copiers. So in order to have a copy of the law of Moses, it was prepared by individuals. It was actually written out by hand. After one would spend some time copying down the law, he would be qualified to serve as a teacher of the law. After copying the law for a long period of time, he would know the law and be qualified to teach it. So Ezra is described as a ready scribe in the law of Moses. But I want you to read about his mission in verse 10. Ezra 7 and verse 10 says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Now that was Ezra's mission. He was prepared to fulfill that mission. He had prepared his heart. He knew the law, and he was qualified to teach it. But the preparation was in his heart. And I want you to notice that he not only knew the law, but he practiced the law himself, and then he was devoted to teaching it to others. That sounds like the Lord in Acts chapter 1, as Luke began the book of Acts, where he mentioned in his former treatise, that is in the Gospel of Luke, he had written about all things that Jesus began both to do and teach. You see, that's the proper order. I think it's safe to say from these two verses in Ezra 7 that Ezra had a sense of purpose. He didn't live his life in a haphazard way. He had a mission, and he was prepared to carry out that mission. He had a sense of purpose. Well, the Bible teaches us to have a sense of purpose as we endeavor to run the Christian race. We've already read from Paul's example in Philippians 3, where he talked about his example of living with purpose, and he calls upon us to follow his example. Let's consider a few other passages. One is actually found in the Old Testament. It's the next to the last verse of the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon wrote about many ways in which he searched for happiness and was unable to find it. But then he finally realized what was really important. In verse 13 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." That's living life with purpose. And I want you to notice that God's people have been called upon to live life with purpose for a long, long time. Oh, it's emphasized in the New Testament. But this is the principle that was dealt very many times in the Old Testament. Well, let's consider a few verses in Galatians chapter 6, which deal further with this matter of living life with purpose. Galatians chapter 6, let's start at verse 7. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Now those verses deal with Christians having a sense of purpose. It's important for us to have a proper sense of purpose, because we're going to reap on the basis of how we sow. That being the case, we need to follow the instructions given to us in verses 9 and 10. So from the Old Testament, Ezra stands out as one who had a sense of purpose. As we endeavor to run the Christian race, the Bible teaches us to have a sense of purpose. But remember, we're to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. What was the Lord's example? Let's turn to Luke 19 and read verse 10. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Now Jesus had some interaction with a man named Zacchaeus. Remember, he was the man who was very short in stature. He climbed up into a sycamore tree when he heard that Jesus was going to pass that way. When the Lord came to him, he had a conversation with him. No doubt the people who were present were amazed that Jesus talked with this man because he was a publican, a tax collector. But he defended his character. Now, some of the publicans had a bad reputation. Some of them took more than they were entitled to. Now, keep in mind that these were basically Jewish people who collected taxes from the Jews on behalf of the Romans. So someone who took that responsibility would not be looked upon with favor by the Jews. They really didn't like paying taxes to the Romans. But the publicans were used in collecting those taxes. Some of them took more than they were entitled to. You see, they were allowed to take a portion of what they collected for themselves. Some of them took more than they were entitled to. Not Zacchaeus. He hadn't done that. And he said if he had taken anything wrongfully, then he restored it fourfold. So here's a man who was diligent in living a life that's pleasing unto God. But people around were not very happy that the Lord was talking with him. But Jesus revealed his purpose as he had this conversation. And in verse 10 of Luke 19, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Our Lord had a sense of purpose. He knew what his mission was, and he was devoted to carrying out that mission. So before we can live life with purpose, we have to have a sense of purpose. Ezra shows us what having a sense of purpose is all about. So does Jesus. And the Bible teaches us as Christians that we are to have a sense of purpose. But there are certain things, though, that will help us to live with purpose. We don't have time to deal with all of them, but one matter that's very important is trusting God completely. In order to live life with purpose, we must trust God, and we must trust Him completely. Well, let's begin with the Old Testament. And there are so many Old Testament characters who demonstrated their trust in God. It's kind of hard to select one. But let's talk about Nehemiah for just a moment. Ezra led a group of Jews from Babylon back to Jerusalem. A few years later, Nehemiah went from the land of captivity to Jerusalem. And he was the man who was responsible for getting the wall built around the city for protection. I love to study about Nehemiah. He was a man of faith. He was a man of action. But he was a man who had a sense of purpose. And as he carried out his purpose, he demonstrated his trust in God. Well, he led the Jews in rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. By the way, that was accomplished in 52 days. That's just mind-boggling to me. When he first got there, he led a group of men out to do an inspection, and there were ruins. The wall had been destroyed. Now, that had happened many years earlier when the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem. Many years have passed, and that wall has not been rebuilt. Consequently, the enemies of the Jews were afflicting them. You see, the wall was designed to keep the enemies out, But with no wall, the enemies were just doing as they pleased. So Nehemiah decided to do something about that. He had a sense of purpose, and his purpose was to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. He called upon the people to engage in that work. They responded in a very great way because they had a mind to work. Everybody cooperated, and that work was accomplished in 52 days. That's just amazing to me. But the scriptures indicate that Nehemiah demonstrated his trust in God in several different ways. One way was in his prayers. Let's look at the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1, let's read verse 4. Now this is after Nehemiah had learned about the condition of Jerusalem. His brother had come to visit him, and he asked about the condition of Jerusalem, and he learned what state it was in, and it bothered him. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now, I want you to notice that Nehemiah demonstrated his trust in God when he learned this bad news by talking to God through prayer. Now, Lord willing, this evening, we want to look at a number of passages in the book of Nehemiah that deal with his prayer life. I believe there were some 11 different occasions when the Bible mentions in the book of Nehemiah that he prayed. But as he prayed, he demonstrated his trust in God. Also look at chapter 2 and verse 4. The king of Persia asked Nehemiah what he wanted to do about the situation. Verse 4 of chapter 2 says, "Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request?" Now how did Nehemiah respond? "So I prayed to the God of heaven." Nehemiah demonstrated great faith. He demonstrated great wisdom by talking to God through prayer. Well, he trusted in God. And when the king asked him for his request, he responded by praying to God. After he prayed to God, then he talked to the king. Well, he demonstrated great wisdom, but he also demonstrated his trust in God. But there's another way in which Nehemiah demonstrated his trust in God. As you study the book of Nehemiah, you will see that the Jews had some enemies. And they did just about everything they could to try to stop the work on the wall. Now they knew that if the wall was built, they could not enter into the city and afflict the Jews. Well, that's why Nehemiah was building the wall, to prevent that from happening. But the enemies knew that if that wall was completed, then they would be limited on what they could do. They tried their best to get the work stopped. They ridiculed Nehemiah. They criticized his work. They did all types of things to try to stop the work on the wall. But let's look at Nehemiah's response. Chapter 2 and verse 20. Chapter 2 and verse 20. "Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem." Now, if Nehemiah did not trust in God, he would not have responded as he did. But when the enemies of the Jews were trying to get the work stopped, he demonstrated his trust in God. Notice who he mentioned. He mentioned God. Chapter 4 and verse 4. This is after Nehemiah's work was ridiculed. The enemy said, "This wall that they're building, if a fox goes up against it, well, he'll tear it down." Now, that's not a nice statement. That's not a nice statement at all. If I'd been Nehemiah, I would have taken offense at that. I try my best when I build something to make it so it won't fall down. It may not be the prettiest in the world, but when I build something, I want it to stand. I don't want it to fall down. I would have taken offense at that statement. How did Nehemiah respond? Look at verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Once again, he demonstrated his trust in God. Rather than get involved with an argument with these people, he turned to God. Well, he wouldn't have done that if he didn't trust God. And look at chapter 6 and verse 9. One thing I have to say about the enemies of the Jews, they were persistent. They didn't give up very easily. Chapter 6 and verse 9, after another attempt was made to try to get the work stopped, for they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Okay, how did Nehemiah respond? Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. He prayed for strength, but he trusted in God to the point that he made that request. Now, these are various ways in which Nehemiah demonstrated his complete trust in God as he fulfilled his purpose. Now, remember, we're talking about living life with purpose. Nehemiah certainly did that, but in doing so, he trusted God completely. If he had not trusted God as he did, I doubt very seriously that he would have been successful in building that wall. Well, he stands out as a great example of one who trusted God. Well, what about our responsibility? We're to run the race that is set before us with purpose, if you'll allow me to say it that way. I know the Bible says to run the race with patience, as we talked about last week, but today we're talking about living with purpose. We have responsibilities to live with purpose, as Nehemiah did. And we also are responsible for trusting God. If we don't trust God completely, then I doubt that we'll be successful in living life with purpose. Well, let's consider a few verses that deal with this matter of trusting God. And let's look at the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Notice that the first statement in verse 5 is trust in the Lord with all your heart. In order to live life with purpose, we must trust God. And the Bible teaches us in these verses that if we will avoid leaning unto our own understanding and acknowledge God in all of our ways, he will provide direction for us. I believe Nehemiah illustrates these verses. Well, that's what we're taught in the Old Testament. Now, you know as well as I do that today we live under the authority of the New Testament. But there are some great words of wisdom found for us in the Old Testament. It was written for our learning. Well, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. And notice how Christians are directly instructed to trust God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's start at verse 8. Now, this letter was written by Paul the Apostle to Timothy, who was an evangelist. And Paul gave instructions to Timothy concerning his personal conduct as well as the things that he was responsible for teaching to others. In verse 8 he says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. In verse 10 says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These verses touch on living life with purpose. But in doing so, I want you to notice that trusting God is also mentioned. In order to live with purpose, in order to run the Christian race with purpose, we must trust God completely. Well, what about the example of our Lord? Remember, that's the pattern that we're following. We're looking at Old Testament characters, we're looking at our responsibilities, and we're looking at the example set by the Lord. Jesus certainly trusted the Father as he fulfilled his ministry. Let's look at John chapter 8 and read verses 28 and 29. John chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Did Jesus trust the Father? Completely. He knew that the Father had sent him on a mission. We've already talked about that. His purpose was to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus was confident that the Father was with him, so much so that he said, the Father has not left me alone. That had an impact upon him as he fulfilled his purpose. He said, I do always those things that please him. So Jesus certainly had a sense of purpose, as we've already talked about, but in fulfilling that purpose, he demonstrated his trust in God. Well, let's consider another point. And I think this is one of the points that Brother Meredith was making in the article. Living life with purpose will help us in facing obstacles and overcoming them. That particular matter is addressed many times in the Bible. I don't know who was responsible for this. I don't know if any one person was responsible or not. But over the years, I've talked with a number of people who've had the mistaken idea that if they became Christians, they'd never have another problem in the world. I don't find that in the Bible. But I have come across a number of people who had that mistaken idea. And I've even seen a few people who I believe were motivated to become a Christian, thinking that once they did, they'd never have another problem in the world. And the problem is that problems soon develop and the person falls away. I don't know who was responsible for teaching that, but it's not true. Matter of fact, my Bible tells me that we have an adversary who walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And that was written to Christians. Our adversary is the devil. So I'm glad, though, that we have the assurance that we have someone who will help us. But as we think about the Lord helping us, His word teaches us that living life with purpose will help us to face obstacles and overcome them. We all have obstacles to face. With the Lord's help, we can overcome them. That's where living with purpose comes into play. Once again, we want to start with the Old Testament. Let's turn to Psalm 40 and let David talk to us. David faced many obstacles in his life, and with the Lord's help, he overcame them. Now, David lived his life with purpose. As you study the Psalms, you cannot help but be impressed with how devoted David was to serving the Lord. He was known as a man after God's own heart. He wasn't perfect by any means. He made some dreadful mistakes. But he lived his life with purpose. He faced a number of obstacles, but I want you to notice how he was able to overcome them. Psalm 40, let's read the first 5 verses. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor turn, or as such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. David mentioned the fact that he had a number of obstacles, but he was able to overcome them. Why? Well, he talks about trusting in God, doesn't he? He also refers to the fact that he lived his life with purpose. But not only was he able to face his obstacles, but he was able to overcome them. I love to study about David in the Old Testament. As a young man, he demonstrated great faith when he took on Goliath the giant. He became the king of Israel. God blessed him abundantly. Very interesting person to study. Some of these obstacles that he faced, he brought upon himself. But then there were others who were trying their best to eliminate him. His own father-in-law, King Saul, tried several times to take his life. David had an opportunity, at least on 2 occasions, to take Saul's life, but he wouldn't do it. He would not raise his hand against the king of Israel. Well, David was a very wise man. He faced obstacles in his life. He was able to overcome them. One reason why he was able to do so is that he lived his life with purpose. Well, what about us? As we endeavor to run the Christian race with purpose, we will be able to face and overcome obstacles as David did. Maybe not the same obstacles. I hope not. But we all face obstacles. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We want to begin at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Well, we all face obstacles. But with the Lord's help, we can overcome them. Living life with purpose will go a long way toward helping us face and overcome obstacles. What about the Lord's example? Well, let's turn to John 16 and read verse 33. Jesus made this statement just before he offered his prayer unto God, that's recorded in chapter 17. But in the last verse of John 16, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus faced a number of obstacles, and he was about to face his greatest one. But by living with purpose, he said, I have overcome the world. Living life with purpose is a great blessing. Sometimes I see people who apparently have no purpose for living. And that's a sad situation. Living life with purpose is a great blessing. But it doesn't happen by accident. We can receive encouragement from Old Testament characters, and we can receive encouragement from the Lord's example. And we're given direct instructions from the Scriptures that relate to living life with purpose. You know, when we're outside of Christ, we really don't have any worthwhile purpose. But when we get into Christ, we're given a new purpose. One of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible is 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When someone gets into Christ, he's a new creature or a new creation. The past is gone. It's done away. All things become new. We're given a clean slate. We're given a new purpose. Before getting into Christ, we really don't have a worthwhile purpose. But once we get into the Lord, we're given a new purpose. And we're shown in the Bible exactly how we get into Christ so that we can enjoy that blessing. Let's look at a couple of verses of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Well, when we're buried with Christ and then raised with Christ, we're able to walk in newness of life. Old things are passed away, all things become new. We're given a new purpose. And with the Lord's help, if we will fulfill that purpose, we have something great to look forward to. Well, I believe the time has come that the Lord's people need to show the world what's involved in living with purpose. Others need to observe our behavior, our outlook, our demeanor, our speech, and they need to receive a favorable impression. They need to see someone who's living with purpose. And I can't help but think that that just might be contagious. People might be led to say, what's your reason for living? What's behind your sense of purpose? There's the open door to study with someone from the Scriptures. Well, we need to think about these things. There's a lot going on in the world today. It causes us great concern. I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know that if we will live our lives with purpose, as the Scriptures teach, the Lord will bless us in return. God help us to do that.